The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Johnson. Today we are Joshless, but I'm with Mo as we talk about the show of shows, the biggest show of the year for any wrestling fan, just purely based on the history and everything that ties in with it. Will it be the best show? Probably not. But we get 15 matches as of right now. I have a feeling there's going to be at least two more added to this. But Mo, what do you think? Just quick thoughts.
Well, I'm looking forward. I mean, we're wrapping this up. It's a Tuesday here, 7 o'clock local time, and I think WrestleMania starts in about an hour, and then it'll wrap up sometime next month.
Yeah, it's just going to keep going and going and going and going, and you'll be like, wow, I didn't know this could go this long.
That's just what it's going to feel like when you're watching Baron Corbin versus Kurt Angle.
Oh my, that has to be a quick match, doesn't it? Like, you can't, like, I feel as though they've been very protective of Kurt right now, just not taking any serious bumps, and he's not doing anything crazy. I just feel like they're being very protective of him.
Sure, they're being protective of him, but what does that mean?
That they want him to go all out. Oh, God!
You know, it doesn't matter. It just means, no, it means he can't go all out, is what that means.
But I feel like Kurt's going to try, at least. Like, he...
Maybe if he was with somebody else, right? Like, he's with Baron Corbin. What can you try? Baron Corbin, he's a dumpster fire.
Yeah. Now, my question, because I want to ask you this before we go through the whole card, because there's 15 matches to go through. What do you think the chances of it's a suplex, angle slam, ankle lock, done and finished, and Kurt throws out a challenge, and it's answered by someone else?
I don't know, 25%?
25%? You think it's just going to be him and Corbin, and Corbin's going to get the win?
Probably.
Yeah.
I'd say that's more likely. Like, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Corbin represents the big middle finger from Vince McMahon to the fans.
Yeah.
The fact that he can't control the fans the way he used to. The fact that he has to listen to them and give us the people we want winning, and put the smaller guys on NXT on and push guys like, you know, that he has no interest in and that he doesn't think we should like. So his way of getting revenge on everybody is by, there's the one guy that this black hole of charisma who can't wrestle a match, can't cut a promo. Just as boring as hell that we all can't stand, that his go away heat, put him on there on the show, let him have, you know, consistently be pushed, because that's his way of giving a middle finger to us. You know, he has to give us all this other stuff, but that way he gets to say what he really thinks of us and what we want.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think if you had told me a year ago Kurt's going to have his last match at Mania, I'd be like, oh, cool, I wonder who it's going to be against. And then you said Baron Corbin, I'd be like, why is it against Baron Corbin?
Because Vince secretly hates us that we have a brain.
Yes.
He lowered the curtain, you know, and then he's upset that we're looking behind and seeing the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because – like, the stories about all the things that they would do to just screw with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer. Yeah, and it's just like, what are you doing? You guys are the ones that pulled the curtain. So what did you expect us to sit there and go, no, Vince, whatever you say is good, and we're going to trust you. No, we're going to have questions. We're going to have thoughts. And we're going to complain. There's no one that complains more than a pro wrestling fan.
Nope.
No, and we're going to keep going. But enough on the I don't even know what to describe it. Let's hit on this card. I guess we'll start with what I would consider on the pre-show, the two battle royales. The WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal, it's no longer what it was called last year, so that's all gone. And then the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale. I'm going to lump these two together. It doesn't matter, does it? Neither of these carry any weight for the rest of the year. This won't matter after the match is done. Once that bell rings afterwards and they call the winner, that's when it ceases to matter. I could dare say it won't matter when they start the match either.
Okay, let's put it this way. look at the previous winners of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. What was it, Mojo Rawley?
Yep, Cesaro.
Cesaro, Big Show, Matt Hardy. Who else? Who are we missing? Baron Corbin, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, yeah, he did win, didn't he?
Yeah, and who won the Battle Royal last year?
Matt Hardy? Was it Matt
The Hardy? Women's?
Oh, women's Naomi?
Did she?
I think so.
Anyways, so what has winning this thing ever done for anybody's career?
Nothing.
We've already spent too much time on this. Let's move on.
So, Josh has sent his prediction, so I will say this. Women's, he picked Mandy. And for the men, he picked Strowman. So I think those are both logical picks.
I suppose. I mean, I think the women comes down to Mandy, what's her name, Lacey Evans and Asuka. Those are your ones you would think, right? But
yeah.
Again, to me, I wouldn't even put Asuka in there because it lowers her. Yeah. And right now, I mean, you can spin her off into a title match against any of the three women in the main event, But as soon as you put her in there, and especially if she doesn't win, it lowers her. So I wouldn't even put her in there. I would keep her off Mania, amazingly. Or just have her in some sort of backstage segment. But, you'd have to have a clue to do that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I'm looking at this. There's 15 matches. There's probably going to be another two added. I don't get this mindset of that you have to get everyone on the card. I think this should be a time where you're like, the best of the best will be on this card.
No, it's stupid. I hate that the fact that you're bloating this card's so bloated, and then you have to do the Battle Royal plus all the other matches just so everybody can get a payday. Hey, if you can afford to pay them, just pay them.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't put them on there. If you can afford to pay them, just pay them.
It's lunacy, and the fact that you're forcing fans to sit through an 8-hour show is absurd. No other product would have you do this. There's nothing that comes to mind. Super Bowl has all the hype and hullabaloo before, then you've got the game. More times than not, people only care about one thing, and that's when the ball is kicked and the game gets going.
Yep.
So this is lunacy, and this needs to change. This absolutely needs to change moving forward. I don't know who's going to win these, but we'll carry on. We'll get into some of the matches now. One of the first matches, and I think will be on the pre-show, is for the Cruiserweight Championship. Buddy Murphy defends against his former friend, Tony Nese. Who do you got, Mo, and what do you think of the state of the Cruiserweight division in WWE?
Well, the action will be great. The match that Cedric Alexander and Nese had to qualify for this was fantastic. And Buddy Murphy will probably retain. The funny thing about Buddy Murphy is he keeps on calling himself the greatest cruiserweight of all time, which makes me think, well, you're going to see him and him and Rey Mysterio. That's got to be the end game, right? But I don't think that they have that much faith in anybody in the cruiserweight division. Of course, he's massive for the cruiserweight division. But, I mean, I think it'll be a terrific match, but it'll be in front of a third full card, and nobody will care.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm going to go Josh picked Buddy Murphy.
Right now on SmackDown, they are advertising an 18-person mixed tag team match. Remember what we said about bloated? Just ruining it all.
Bloated.
Asuka sitting there interacting with comedy babyface mid-card with Otis.
Oh, this hurts already. Like, I feel sore, and I feel like I'm gonna, like, I hope the MetLife Stadium chairs are really comfortable. I really, really, really hope.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope so too.
Or I'm going to be getting up and walking a fair bit. I'm going to be different. I'm going to pick Tony Nese just as something different. But I do think Buddy, in all likelihood, Buddy will retain, but I can see a world where they put it on Nese and then they just don't know where they're going from there, because that's the constant. It's, you know.
Actually, no, they do know where they're going. It's just nobody's paying attention. Like, they have solid booking, but, you know, it's Hunter takes it, Vince's hands are off of it. But that said, I mean, it's, you know, it is what it is.
It definitely is what it is. Looking at this card, this is the match that I think will kick off the show, so I'm going to go with this next. And it is a Falls Count Anywhere match. It is The Miz versus the best in the world, Shane McMahon.
Yeah, it could kick off the show. Can I tell you know what? I mean, it's not that they've actually done a bad job with this, but it's the actual match. And I, you know, Miz is doing better as a babyface here, showing more babyface fire. But at the end of the day, it's like Miz just beat up a Sanity in a, you know, 3-on-1. I just don't, and it went everywhere. Like, you can't buy Miz as a tough guy. Like, you just can't.
No.
And Shane sucks. And it's the funny thing for me on this is Shane is known for potatoing people. Miz is known for being scared and moving away his face so he doesn't get hit and making things look phony. So this is two things coming together. It's a guy who potatoes everybody in the face and a guy who's afraid to have his face hit. It's that should be the most entertaining part of it. As far as the winner, I mean, Miz is going to win, but who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, there's EC3, part of your 9-man. Wow. 18-person mixed tag. Wow. Oh, and he's on the heel side because I wasn't sure, basically.
Wow. This is rough.
Yeah. Yeah, who knew? Like, seriously, even based on last night, who knew? Like, or any of it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I will agree with you, and Josh agrees with you, that The Miz will win. I have liked Shane as a heel. I think he's almost better as a heel. Like, he just seems to be have that little bit of cockiness down that you want from your heels. So I think that that's been done well, but it's going to be an interesting match, and hopefully it doesn't go too long, but it probably will.
It'll go too long. It's just, what is Shane? Shane's whole thing is he gets over by doing something crazy. And he's done this in the past, even as a heel, which is stupid. But it's especially stupid this right now. You're a heel. You should not do, I don't know. Man, that's the part that I don't get it. Like he's going to, if he does anything crazy, it's a babyface move. If he doesn't do anything crazy, then he's wrestling and he sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's the thing. And that's where, like, they said they had a big match for Shane, and then they gave us Shane versus Miz. And I don't know. This is one of those matches you could absolutely cut from this card. And I don't think anyone would bat an eye.
Well, they definitely think this is a big match. I know they do. Because it's, you know,
it's a McMahon, goddammit.
Yeah, exactly. It's a McMahon. That means it's big.
It's something, all right. Let's go. Let's shift gears. Let's go with the tag team. This was just announced on SmackDown, and it is the punishment for the Usos forfeiting against the New Day to help propel them forward. It is a fatal four-way for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champion. You have the Usos defending against The Bar, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Rusev, who Nakamura has fallen way down the card. And you've got two guys pulling double duty, Ricochet and Aleister Black, who walks out with the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champion, Mo.
Well, you have to think they're going to take it off the Usos since they haven't signed a new contract, and I'm not sure they will. So, I mean, I'm probably going to be Nakamura and Rusev just because it'll be interesting and new. And they could probably think of some comedy stuff they can do with the two of them at mid-card level on TV. And so in other words, they're not booking for what they think is the best matches, you know, or best for the belt. It's just for what they think they can entertain Vince the most. And that seems to be like most likely, you know, that odd couple team.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Man, I hope Rusev leaves. I really hope Rusev leaves.
Yeah, I hope he does too. Another one.
Yeah, it's a shame. You look at up and down this card, and you're like, I hope these guys all go and get away from this. So Josh has informed us that there was a match added, which is the Revival versus Hawken and Ryder. I don't see it actually on my list in front of me right now, but that is currently a rumor floating around. Do you think
I've heard that one too.
You've heard that one? Okay. Who do you? Hawkins and Ryder are going to win it, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they're going to win it, and who's going to care?
See, that's the thing. You have so much fluff in this show that by the time you get to the stuff that you have some semblance of caring about, you're going to be tired.
Well, not only that, but I mean, honestly, here's a guy who's never won a match, and he's getting a title match because he challenged somebody. It's like, what do wins and losses mean, or these belts mean then? Like, it's just stupid. Oh my God, Tucker Knight sucks. It's just stupid.
That's what we should do one day. We should record a podcast of you reacting to Monday Night Raw and SmackDown and just cut it together.
Oh, that would be good. Then I could really go off, because here I'm trying not to say too much, but
I think we're all in agreement. Hawkins and Ryder, poor Revival. No wonder
they want to leave. They're so gone when the time comes. They're so gone.
You look at this card and you're just like, this doesn't sound as fun. Like this, I'm sure once I get hooked up into the pageantry and music hits and people come out and I see things, I'm going to be hooked right away. I know that for a fact, that I'm going to be like, yep.
And there's good things on here. We just haven't got to them yet.
Yeah.
It's so bloated. Like I say, there is more bad than good. When you're filling 8 hours though,
you shouldn't. Yeah, I miss the old days. 3 hours would be perfect, but
4 hours is fine. You know, I just watched, it was on the network recently, so I just watched WrestleMania 6. It was a little more than 3.5 hours, just slightly, like 3 hours and 33 minutes.
Perfect.
You know, and does it have as good wrestling as we'll see nowadays? No, but is it probably more entertaining? I'd say yes.
Yeah.
Because they have a bunch of really good promos. They're short in between. Great promos. Axe and Demolition cut this great promo, and Hogan's great promo, and just all this stuff. And then the announcing, so entertaining that the show flows by and never drags, because the announcing entertains you even when the stuff in the ring isn't good. And yeah, I miss the old days too.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to see what AEW puts out.
I think we all feel that way.
Motoring along here, I think we're getting a little bit more to the things that matter to us and a little bit more semblance of caring, but this is the first time these titles will be defended. It is the at WrestleMania. It will be a fatal four-way for the WWE Women's Tag Team Champion. It will be Nia and Tamina trying not to hurt anyone versus the Iconics trying not to screw up versus the Divas of Doom, which I'm excited to see, versus the Boss and Hug Connection, Bayley and Sasha, defending their titles. Two out of three.
Worst name ever?
Pardon?
Worst name ever? Awesome Bug Connection?
Yeah, I almost would just go with just calling them Bayley and Sasha, but that's my personal opinion. Two out of the three are very talented.
Sure.
I think Phoenix and Natalya are good, and I think Bayley and Sasha are good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's
the Iconics. You don't want to watch. The other side is bad, right? Like, all you have to hope, you hope that you get Natalya in the ring against Bayley and Sasha the whole time, and then occasionally maybe there's like a moment where Beth Phoenix can come in and do a high spot that looks cool, and that the others are never in the ring. Like, that's what you hope. You hope the Iconics just look on the side and are entertaining and annoying and they're doing their act but refuse to get in the ring. Unfortunately, I get the feeling they're going to walk out with the belts.
Yeah, I think so as well. To me, this is a match that you could lop off two of the teams in here, and you can have the Boss and Hug and the Divas of Doom, and I think you'd get a good match. I really do.
You had the Divas of Doom versus Boss and Hug, absolutely. But this comes back to what we talked about before, the need to put everybody on the show,
yeah,
even if it's not best for the show, so they can get their payday, so they can get their pay. Just pay them and keep them off the show.
Make them
work towards something next year. If you want that WrestleMania experience, you got to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this should be the goal. Where is it would be like handing out NHL final appearances to any team just so everyone's happy and everyone can compete. I think this is the Mania absolutely should be. I am working towards this. This is my goal. I want on that card. I missed it last year, and I'm going to be damned if I'm going to miss it again. And it's not that way. Josh has picked the champions to retain. You know what? I'm going to go with Nia and Tamina to win the title, because I could just see Vince chuckling on his headset as this hell happens. But I'm excited to see Beth Phoenix. I'm excited to see Bayley and Sasha. I always enjoy seeing them live. The rest just kind of dwindled down, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Looking at the card, we currently have eight matches left to talk about, Mo.
Sorry, I'm just noticing that Andrade's in this 8 matches left to talk about. Holy crap. Well, let's keep going, but I'm just noticing Andrade's in this 18-person match, which is interesting because I thought he was taking on Ray tonight.
So what happened is, and let's hit on this match now, a WWE United States Championship match. Samoa Joe makes his WWE WrestleMania debut, finally defending against Rey Mysterio, and Rey Mysterio will not be taking Andrade's Cien Almas at SmackDown because of an ankle injury. So does this put this match in jeopardy, or did they just want to keep Rey off? And then is Joe going to have a match at Mania? Like, I just want Joe.
Well, he's going to have a match regardless. He's definitely going to have a match. I mean, will it be against a call up from NXT? Possibly. I would imagine Rey will work if he's going to, but there's no way this poor guy. I mean, first he's in NXT when he doesn't need to be. Then he's in, he's brought up and kept out so he could be, even though he debuts beforehand, kept out so he could be some post, Mania program with Reigns at the time, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But because he'd already been brought up, and then he's kept off the show, then he's hurt, and then, this happens, like, he should be taken on Cena. If it's not, Angle should be taken on Cena, but if it's not, Angle, then it should be Joe.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Not
that Rey is a bad, he's fine, but
I still would much rather have Rey versus Andrade, but
oh god, yeah, of course.
There is a video that
Andrade's another guy that's gonna leave.
Yeah, I hope maybe I would hope he could find his way into AEW, because I think him and Kenny would be incredible.
Oh god, that would be amazing.
See?
There's a whole bunch that would be amazing, but. Man, that would be great.
Who do you got winning between Joe and our little best cruiserweight ever, Rey Mysterio?
They'll probably go with Rey if he's there, but who knows? Maybe the injury now will keep him out of there.
Yeah, Josh has picked Joe. I'm going to pick Rey because I think that would be one of those nice little moments. Dominic there. I absolutely think we'll see Dominic get physical in this because he's finished training with Lance. And Lance Storm has three people that he's trained that will be on this Mania card. So kudos to him on his training and his hard work helping to bring in the next era of professional wrestling.
Well, he's definitely one of the best trainers in the world. He's, if not the best. So.
Yeah, you want to go to a wrestling school. Landstorm Wrestling Academy is the place to be.
If you can get it.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No, you gotta earn it. And that's one thing that I'd like to see WWE do more of. You have to earn it. Shifting along here, let us go with another match that there was some hype that this guy was going to be facing someone a lot bigger than what he's facing. I'm not excited about this match. I am, however, excited to see the entrance. It is for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Bobby Lashley defends against the Demon, Finn Balor. Seeing the Demon entrance, I'm really excited for. I just wish it was against someone of more notoriety.
Lashley hasn't been good since he got to the WWE, which is funny because he was really good in TNA.
It's weird.
You know.
It's a
strange thing. I think you definitely I mean, obviously the Demon is winning. Demon shouldn't be losing ever. And then he could just lose the bout right back to Lashley again.
Yeah.
But I think the entrance will be really, really cool. I hope they're working on something really cool. His entrances as the Demon haven't been as cool yet in WWE, but boy, in NXT, they came up with some really cool ones. So
I'm hopeful that they pull out all the stops here, and this is one of those entrances that you can remember and are clips used down the line for Finn. I honestly hope that this match is a sling blade, dropkick, boot, 1, 2, 3. That's it. It won't be, but I'd love it to be that way. Josh has Balor winning as well, so I think we all are going with Balor. And I think you're absolutely right. I think Finn's losing this sooner rather than later to Lashley again.
Probably to Lashley, otherwise it's somebody else. It could be somebody who comes up right away and comes. We don't know how many. It's like it seems so stupid, the idea of so many call-ups and trying to make Raw after Mania a big show now when you've had so many call-ups.
Yep. That is one of those things where it's like, your roster's already so bloated. No more call-ups. Just leave it alone.
Because you haven't even used these people very well yet. Right, so now you're going to add even more?
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. I mean, it'll be nice to see Balor win, and that'll be a good little moment for him. And he's a guy that I really desperately want him to leave and go do other things, because I think he is a guy that you should be printing money with, and you're not.
I thought Kevin Owens was going to leave for sure, and he obviously resigned. So I mean, who knows what's going to happen in this world?
Yeah, stranger things have happened, and you can never really guess what's going to happen. We're going to try to with this Mania card. Next matchup on the docket is a match that I'm excited for. They cut a promo in SmackDown that I quite enjoyed. They had some barbs that I quite enjoyed. I think AJ won this one, but it's a single match. It's AJ Styles, Randy Orton, the RKO, phenomenal forearm, and AJ has brought up the failed drug test for Randy Orton on SmackDown. So I'm all in on this match. This is a match that I'm genuinely excited to see live.
I legitimately believe, and Samojo's on his way out right now, so we'll see if they address this, but I legitimately believe that this is certainly in the top three or four most anticipated matches for the live crowd there. I expect there'll be a really great reaction to it. And it should be a very good match. Let's see what kind of time they get. AJ hasn't quite pulled out that great moment lately, but he has all the ability to. So it's going to be interesting again. We'll see what happens. I do think that I kind of think Orton's going over.
Yeah, I think Orton's going over as well. But I think that it doesn't matter to me. Wins and losses, as long as you're telling a story in ring, I think that's the key part of this.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping that they get at least 20 minutes to tell a story, because I think you can absolutely tell the story of the WWE guy versus the TNA guy, the guy that had to grind his way to get there, to the guy.
And they did. They did with Cena originally, you know, the first time that he and Orton were working together. So I mean, they've told that before. It works. I mean, it'll still work.
Yeah. And I think both these guys work in it. I think when Randy wants to go, I think Randy can go, and I think Randy is going to work to AJ's level, and that's my hope, because
it could be a bit of a styles clash, pardon the pun, only because Randy's very WWE style, which is very much like the rest holds and the different things that to try and draw heat, and but he's very smart, like he as far as understanding where to be and when to do what and things like that, those intangibles, he's very good at that.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And I think this will be a good match. I think this could be the match of the night for the WrestleMania. anything's possible, and I'm really holding out hope for this match. Next match is another singles match. It's going to be interesting. This is a match that I'm going to be watching closely, and it's Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. Does Drew get the win over Roman? Does Roman go over clean? How does the crowd react to Roman with his first major appearance since beating Leukemia? How does the crowd react to Drew, and how do these two work together, and where does this lead to next for both these guys? I have a lot of questions from this. I think I know the answer on who's going to win, but I think Roman's going over. I think.
Oh yeah.
It would be foolish to not have Roman go over. And that is Josh's pick as well, Roman. But I could see a world where they tell this story that Roman came back too soon and McIntyre got a sneaky win at Mania. Because Mania doesn't matter nearly as much as the Saudi shows. So I think we'll see some big wins not happen at Mania, but happen in Saudi Arabia.
I wouldn't say it doesn't mean as much as the... It means more than the Saudi show. I would disagree with that. The Saudi show, it doesn't matter what they do. The Saudi show is for a small audience and it doesn't matter who wins and loses. They're about giving the WWE experience. The actual crowd cares more about what's going on at Mania, so I think it matters more. But, Saudi show, they'll just bring out, like, another guy who's 413 years and old and shouldn't wrestle, and that's what that's about.
This is true. I kind of look at it as business perspective, how much money they've made from Saudi Arabia compared to Mania. And this ties into something that we'll talk about in a little bit, because there's still more matches to go through. There was a report that came out that kind of makes me think that they could be saving things for other shows, and specifically the Saudi Arabia shows.
No, I don't think they're going to say it. Just doesn't make sense. Why would you save something for that? It doesn't get well watched on the network.
No.
You know, so it's for, like I say, and the people there, they don't know the product. Why would you save a damn thing? Brutus Beefcake in, huh? In the hall?
Yep. Brutus Barber Beefcake. Exciting times. Hall of Fame's must watch.
Yep.
Shifting gears here. I'm just looking because it's like a long list of all these matches and just trying to make sure hit on everything. Here we go. We've talked about this already once before. Kurt Angle in his farewell match against the extremely talented. He has so much charisma. You could just see as he walks out in his vest and I can't lie anymore. It's Baron Corbin versus Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle's last match, Kurt wins, right? Or Corbin wins. Corbin has to win because that's the rule of thumb. You go out on your back.
Of course, Corbin. Yeah, that is why I think that happens. I don't think they should do that. But and the one good thing is, because nobody cares about Baron Corbin, he can lose and it doesn't. Nobody will care one way or the other, you know. So yeah. He's not actually hurt by a loss because nobody cares about him anyways. But they'll probably put him over.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Josh has picked Kurt Angle, so there's it's going to be interesting to see who does go over. I don't know. It's one of those things. The rumor of Cena being involved in this match or being involved in Kurt's last match has been going on for a while now since the announcement of the Angle farewell match. It's speculation. It doesn't sound like Cena's going to have anything to do with Kurt. It sounds like Cena's got his own match, so that just adds another match.
Something with Elias, I figure.
Yeah.
A strong chance. I mean, so Elias is going to either be, it could be Kane, it could be Undertaker, it could be Cena, could be some call up again. I mean, he's doing something, obviously. I mean, Cena certainly could come out, and that would be the best thing. If Cena came out, gave an angle or gave AA to Corbin, and then the match happens between him and, but even, you know, as much as people want to see it, you still don't want to see Angle go very long. It's still not going to be a good match.
No,
so that's the bad thing. Like, there's no win here.
I feel like with Cena, it would just be a AA, 1, 2, 3, and that's it. And that that would be it and done. And then you protect Kurt, because I don't want Kurt to get hurt. Kurt to be able to limp off into the sunset and turn his whole body to give one last wave to the crowd. I have a lot of fond memories of Kurt Angle, and it's neat that it's double-sided sword, because on one side it's really neat to be able to see Angle's farewell match and see Kurt Angle live. It's not the Kurt Angle I'd want to see live, but nevertheless, I get to see Kurt Angle live, and I want him to ride off into the sunset.
I totally get it. One of the reasons why I was at Mania the year I was at that was because Sting was having his Mania match, and I wasn't sure if he was going to have another match in WWE, certainly not at Mania, and it wasn't a great match, though they managed to hide it pretty well, and he was already limited, but, I mean, it was just to be there for that, still means something.
Absolutely, and that's the thing with this card. As much as there are moments that will happen on this card, they'll be like, "Oh, that was really cool." And me being there, I think top to bottom, I'm going to enjoy myself and I'm going to have fun, and the atmosphere is going to be great. And there are going to be little moments, and one of them is hearing Kurt's music come out as he walks to the ring.
Oh, absolutely.
Speaking of something that I never thought I'd get to see, and I'm actually excited for this. Mostly because of who else is in this match. I never thought I'd get to see Batista perform. And to get to see Batista perform is really cool. It is Triple H versus Batista. And it's a no-hold-bards match. And if Hunter loses, he must retire from in-ring competition. I think Hunter wins here. I'm almost guaranteeing that Hunter wins here. But As someone that my really formative wrestling memories came from the Ruthless Aggression era with Batista, with Cena, with Hunter, with Kurt, with Ray, with Randy. Who else from that class am I seeing? I'm looking here. I think that's about it. But seeing Batista is really cool. And I think that in itself is going to draw me into this match.
You put Lesnar in that class too.
Yeah, and Lesnar as well. Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see Batista. I don't know how much these guys are going to be able to do and how much they're going to be able to perform. But I think that I'm excited to see Dave. I really am.
It was, you saw the video package with Dave and how it was like him and Hunter next to each other all those years ago, and Hunter's a massive dude, and then Dave was just so much bigger. And you see him come out on Raw, and you're like, good Lord, does he look thin?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that got me, is that he is slim. But that's, I mean, he's still in great shape, but he is slim. He's actually, I think it'll be very interesting, excuse me, when they're in the ring with their shirts off, to see if Hunter actually looks like the bigger man. Yeah. So I think he will. Which is fascinating. As far as the match, it'll be all right, I suppose. I don't really, because I'm not big on watching Hunter ever wrestle again. He will go over. Yeah. I think the most important thing to me is to see that reaction to Batista, because on Monday, that was maybe the greatest promo of his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, is that or him in the wheelchair against Cena? That was total baby face to me. So,
I don't know. This will be my first time seeing both Triple H and Batista perform live. So this is gonna be another thing. Like, the one thing that I'm keeping in mind throughout this whole weekend is just the check marks off bucket list of guys that I've seen perform. So that is something I'm keeping in mind. And the match isn't gonna be great. But this could be a good sports entertainment match. This doesn't have to be a great wrestling match, and I don't think it will. But
smoke,
I think,
and mirrors, man. It's smoke and mirrors. That's what they're going to do.
And I think of Cody Rhodes when you say it's smoke and mirrors. Josh picks Hunter to win as well, so I think we're all clean sweep there for this match. Next up on the docket is, I didn't think we were going to get this match. It was, I thought they were going a different way, and then their hands got forced. And I don't think that they're happy that their hands got forced. Nevertheless, their hands have gotten forced. It is for the WWE Championship. Daniel frickin' Bryan, who wrestled his first Mania match back from retirement was last year, and now he's walking in as WWE champion in a character that I absolutely love. It may be one of the best gimmicks in wrestling right now. Bryan has just shown why he may be one of the best all time, and he's defending against a guy that has worked and grinded, and his support team of the New Day have been behind him all the way. Kofi Kingston. I know we've talked about how relevant Kofi is and how much of a draw Kofi Kingston could be, but as of right now, I'm picking Kofi Kingston to win it and win the WWE Championship.
Yeah, I think that, and again, I don't know how much it'll actually work out when they do this, but yeah, I think it's likely he's going to win. It's not 100%, but I think it's likely he's going to win. And I think it's very, very good chance, depending on how much time it's given. Very good, and it's probably not going to be given nearly as much as it should be, but it could be the best match on the show.
Yep, absolutely.
The crowd will be hot.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I guarantee you that Rowan will get involved and something will involve the New Day. But I'm hopeful that we get to see that Kofi moment. I'd really like to see him get to that point, because I think he's been that good little soldier for you. He's worked hard. He's talented. He was part of a 3-man stable that shouldn't have worked. Like they should have been DOA on arrival. But
I disagree. He was part of a 3-man group that should have worked. That was almost DOA on arrival because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
but if you ever watch their stuff where they were interacting way before they're ever going to become the New Day on like YouTube and stuff, it was obvious they had something.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in lifetime achievement awards in wrestling. I'm sorry.
No.
Who's the best guy? Who's the best guy? And Kofi's not he's just not there for me yet.
Yeah.
It's a good storyline, but it's just if Ali doesn't get hurt, this doesn't happen. And for me, for this to be really organic for me, Ali would have had to, or regardless, Kofi would have been there from the crowd, and he wasn't. He's not. It's just something. It's like I say, it's a crowd reacting to their chance to influence the product more than their chance to cheer for somebody that they're really behind. I believe.
No,
my take.
That's absolutely fair. I'm not gonna tell you you're wrong, because more times than not you're not, which sucks.
Yeah, I know it pisses everybody off. But.
Yeah, but you learn to live with it. To me, obviously, Brian.
Let's put it this way: what the crowd is doing right now, the way they're doing another contract signing segment.
Yep.
Two, they're bookending the show with this, with two contract signing segments. Are you freaking kidding me?
Have fun.
Are you freaking kidding me? You open with a oh my god. Anyways, so well, I guess that wasn't a contract signing. It was a KO show. It was a contract signing segment though, for all intents and purposes. Anyways, all right. So what was I saying? Oh yeah, Kofi. You know, the what the crowd is doing to get behind Kofi, and what they did to get behind Becky. If you'll notice, Becky's not getting the same reaction
she was, even
6 weeks ago. Okay, so I believe Asuka's the next one. Who's going to be the next hot one that the crowd senses is not appreciated by the company as much as they're appreciated by the crowd, and that person will be Asuka, so she'll be the next one the crowd wants so much to be elevated, is my belief, and she'll take away from Lynch and from Kofi in doing so.
Yeah, no, that's actually an interesting point, because that is the one thing that I've noticed, that Becky has gotten quieter pops, and they're not as big.
She's certainly over, but not the same way.
Yeah, I feel like she has cooled off a tad, and I do think that Kofi will eventually cool off. I don't know, I'm a sucker. Going to there, I'm a sucker for seeing all the moments. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. Just to see all the things.
The thing is, we keep on talking about all the baby faces going over. Some heel's got to go over somewhere.
Yeah, I think I know which heel is going over. I have a funny feeling I know which one.
I think we kind of are both probably on that.
But I mean, Brian could win. That could be the other thing, and that could be just this could be. And you know what? Brian could hit a pedigree on Kofi Kingston, and it could take him a full minute to make the pinfall, and that just puts over the pedigree one last time.
The pedigree?
Well, because Hunter and Booker T.
Oh, okay. I see. Totally. Oh, wow. That was a bit obscure, but I gotcha.
Yeah, it took a little bit, but you caught up to my train of thought. And speaking of which, a heel's going to win. Brock's beaten Seth at Mania. And one of the reasons Meltzer had put out a report today, I believe it was Meltzer, had put out a report basically saying that they don't want all happy-go-lucky moments for wrestling, for Mania. And it sounds like they want to save Seth's big moment for the Saudi Arabia show. So that's why I say that they put.
I don't know about all that, but I do know that I think Brock's going over.
Yeah. yeah. Especially with how Raw ended, you can't tell me that Brock's not retaining.
Yeah, I definitely. You know, you have to look. Yeah, certainly seems like he's going over. I don't know. I just don't know where you go with. I don't know that Seth Rollins as a champion feels fresh enough. Is part of it. And I also don't think that Seth Rollins as a champion is your way to get to Roman Reigns as the champion, which is the end game. And that's why I think that the Brock's going to go over.
Yeah, I think Roman coming back completely changes the direction of the Universal title. And I think because the Universal title will be in Roman's hands one way or another. And it'll be this big moment and this big story. And that'll be everything that's built towards that. But... Yeah, and I mean, I think that means the guys like Drew and Seth fall to the wayside.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just kindling for the Roman Reigns fire again. And that's unfortunately the way
And who the hell doesn't want to see Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar?
I can raise my hand slowly. I don't want
to. I know. If there's one match I'm done with, that's the one.
Their Mania match last year left such a bad taste in my mouth that I just have zero interest in seeing those guys ever touch again.
Well, it's not like the follow-up match at the Saudi show was worth watching either.
That whole thing with the cage and all, yeah, it was a gong show. It was a gong show. So, before we get to the main event, we do have a, oh, by the way, let me see here. Cause I still have to, Josh picks Brock as well. So we're all clear on the Brock. So we're going,
and you know what the thing is, I gotta say, they gotta get that freaking title off him.
Yep.
He's killing it. It's not working.
Oh, it's one of those
happening like this.
You look at Monday Night Raw and just how little I care about Monday Night Raw right now. I haven't even watched a partial Monday Night Raw in several weeks, partially because I've been working. But the other factor in all this is I'm just not as gung-ho at seeing all this. Like, nothing's drawing me in on the Raw side.
No, nothing really feels there's not that must-watch part of the product doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't. I feel like SmackDown had it for a bit with Becky, but it's simmered
down.
Well,
and let's face it, though, that's the other thing is the Raw, the split, it is already dead.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like, the brand split's dead.
Oh, yeah.
So
we had Alexa Bliss on SmackDown. Why? I don't know. She's host of WrestleMania, so she can show up anywhere and she can make matches. So
yeah, everything, it's dead. We knew Fox was probably going to kill it. Plus, they don't know how to do things. So,
yeah. And this ties in with you look at how bloated this Mania card is, and I still have a few things I want to get to before the main event. But it's just you kill the brand split, and then you look at all these guys that are vying for a spot, and how bloated each pay-per-view card's going to be every time that you run a Raw and SmackDown, how bloated those shows are going to be. There's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be like, well, I don't want to stay here anymore. I don't have a spot here. You can't offer me double the money and I'll just sit here in catering. I want to wrestle. And they're going to leave. And then you're going to let guys that are talented slip through your hands, and then you're going to be like, oh, this kind of sucks. Uh-oh, what do we need to do to change? And it's going to be too little too late.
Amen. Oh, my brother, testify. You nailed it.
This mania is it was incredibly important to WWE. This was incredibly important because this is the mania before you go to Fox, before you have a lot more eyes on you, and you have a lot more pressure. Fox isn't messing around. They want quality. They want, okay, maybe not quality. They want decent content. They did go after WWE after all. So they want okay quality content. And I just feel like this, looking at this Mania card, it didn't really deliver. I don't know. I could be sitting there and I could be watching the show live, and I could leave the show and be like, I think I'm going to have a skewed view on it because I'm seeing it live. I'll never have a true full opinion on it.
Well, eventually you will.
It'll take some.
To this day, I'm pretty sure I still saw the best Mania of all time. So maybe you won't.
Was that 31, or did you see another one?
31.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to. 31. I'm really jealous of you because of that Seth moment at the end.
Seth moment, the Rousey moment, and for me, NWO versus DX. You know, it really was a terrific show.
Yeah.
You know, here's the other thing. I get a real strong suspicion that Elias is a person that could interact with him is The Rock, which would be awesome for you.
I would lose it. I've said.
Let's face it. Elias and a Rock concert. It writes itself.
Oh yeah. And the only thing that would add a little bit more to it to make me just I have said this to multiple people. There may be a tear in my eye if I hear the glass shatter, because I've never seen Austin live. He's one of the guys that's drawn me in. If I hear that glass shatter and
that I think you're not going to get. I don't believe you'll get that. But the idea that, first off, Elias is out there and he starts singing, then Jeff Jarrett's music, and he comes out there and starts singing, then the Honky Tonk Man, and it's kind of going to hell, and it's really not that good. Then The Rock comes out to save it. It would be incredible.
Hearing Rock and seeing Rock live would be amazing. That Rock and Austin are the two ones that I'm like, I would really love to see. I really love to see live in person, hear that music, them walking out. I could care less if Hogan's music hit. Doesn't matter to me at all. I'm good not seeing it. But if Rocky walked out there, or very, very slim chance of Austin appearing, I'd lose it, because those are two guys that I grew up watching. I'm a little kid cheering for Rock and Austin, mostly cheering for Austin. But that's to me what Mania is. It's those moments that have a storyline to them that you've built towards this point, and then you have it. That WrestleMania 17, Rock and Austin, regardless of the finish, that build to that match, and just the promo video that they had, and just the interaction between Rock and Austin, it still holds a place in my heart.
In all honesty, that probably is the best Mania of all time. The What a Weird Go Home segment, the two of them singing to each other.
Yeah.
But it only worked because of how good those guys are. Otherwise, you would have been saying how terrible that was.
Yeah. And that's the thing, where you have two of the all-time greats able to take anything that you would give them, and they'd be able to turn it into gold. Or at least most of the time turn it into gold.
Yeah, most of the time.
So we've talked about the Elias segment. We've talked about Cena. Is there any other surprises or any other segments that you think we'll see?
No, I don't think so. Nothing's coming to my mind. No, I'm afraid not. How about you?
Nothing's popping in my mind either. I don't think we'll see Ambrose. I think Ambrose is done, and he will be he'll be riding off to hopefully the AEW sunset.
I don't know if he's going to AEW. Who knows what he is?
He could be just done for a while and just take a break.
He could be, or he could you know, like, I don't know if he's a fit in AEW. Maybe he is. I mean, it's a weird thing. I mean, I don't think it's going to be about a ton of money. Maybe, like, even I could see a place like MLW getting him.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, something completely out of left field.
Absolutely.
But no, I think the only way that we actually see him is if he gets involved in some way in the Lesnar match or the Drew McIntyre Roman Reigns match, or if they have one more Kurt Call moment after if Seth wins it, but he's not going on last. So, but yeah, if there's a Kurt Call moment for the Shield, all of that, that's the only way you would see him. But I mean, yeah. I gotta be honest with you, I could care less if I see him.
Yeah, yeah, and the thing is,
and I don't want to hear his wife either. God, she's terrible.
Yeah, I don't have to listen to commentary at all for Mania.
But you can. There is that option.
Is there?
There is a way. I can't remember how that is. I think it's were they offering it in a stadium where you can listen to the announcers, or of course you could stream. It'd be on slight delay. You could also stream if you had a really good cell phone plan and a ton of money, which you do have. For watching, or to, you know, you could have it in your ear on your phone in the network.
I'm gonna pass. I'm gonna take the nap now.
Oh, you know what? I would too.
I'm gonna enjoy the sound of everyone around me, and just the.
They are more fun.
Yeah, I'm interested to see any chance. We did do a podcast on John Oliver and the piece that he did on WWE. My last question before we get to the main event. Do you foresee any chance, because there's no way we're going to see any signs, but do you see any chance related to the John Oliver piece?
No.
No. Okay. I don't think so either, but I was just curious. Do you think if there's any chance of it? I just don't think that John Oliver...
Was there any chance on Monday?
No.
Was there any chance tonight?
Not that I was aware of.
No.
That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah.
Main event. It's been long speculated that this could be the main event. There have been rumors on who it would include. One of the people don't quite belong. One of the people shouldn't be on there, but it is what it is.
I disagree. I think it should be these three.
You think it should be this three?
Oh, yeah. I think it should be. Because I think it should be. Look, it should be Charlotte and Becky in this moment, in this spot. And Rousey's the person who gets them there.
Yeah.
If she's not there, they don't get there. And, you know, but if it was just those two in this main event, that would be fine for me. But you need – Rousey's the one who doesn't belong in a lot of ways. And she's the one who's just there to put over the other two and make them bigger stars. So, you know, just putting over the one – no, I mean, put over – you know, make the two of them bigger stars.
Yeah.
Make both of them bigger stars. Maybe it's not as much anticipation, but – It's not like Charlotte isn't over.
Yeah, no, and that's absolutely true. And I will actually concede to you on that one. You are right, because this does help potentially make two stars. I'm not thrilled that Charlotte has the title, but I'm also kind of glad that they just don't have a throwaway match with the women's title. It sucks for Asuka, but Ronda.
You know what? I like to say, I bet you it actually works out fine for Asuka. I bet you it gets her more over.
Yeah,
like I just it's gonna backfire on them. You know, we've seen it many times where they take the belt off somebody like that, and it actually backfires on them, gets them more over.
This is true. Bryan and Sheamus from WrestleMania, whatever it was called.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great example.
So this match has been talked about for a while. I mean, the nucleus of this match was really when. Becky was set to face Ronda, and then Becky got taken out thanks to Nia Jax, and then she won the Rumble, and we've had a bumpy road to get to this main event. There have been certain parts of the story that have annoyed me, and I'm like, I don't like
it. What was it most over?
I feel like it was most over when the night after the Rumble, when Becky was like, I'm not waiting, I'm choosing you, Ronda, and I felt like that was the most over, and I was like, yep, nope, I'm done, give me this match, I'm ready to go, and I felt like they just constantly found ways to bog it down. Not saying that Charlotte was the one that bogged it down, I think the booking overall bogged this match down in a lot of ways. They added too many things to it that it just didn't need.
Bingo, everything you said is correct. every single thing you just said is correct. It's the booking that bogged it down and hurt it. It was most over immediately after it was put together. The Monday angle was entertaining as hell, but not main event stuff. It was mid-card comedy stuff. Like the women looked unathletic with their backs tied, kicking each other. It was just ridiculous. I was laughing, and I'm not supposed to be laughing at the main event. It's the booking, but that said, on this night, nobody's going to care. On this night, the crowd will be incredibly hot for this match.
Yeah. Is there any fear with the 8 hours that it'll take to get to this that the crowd will have some fatigue? Or do you think the crowd will be back up for this match?
I think they'll be back up for this one.
I'm excited for this. This is one of the matches that I'm looking forward to. It is history. The first time ever the women are closing out Mania.
I honestly believe it's going to be a great match.
Yeah.
Like, I really do think they're going to have the time to work on it. Everybody's mind is going to be put into it. Ronda excels at this, right? At choreographed matches, when she doesn't have to go out there and not know what she's doing and call things in the ring or close to, that's not her strength. But something like this, they're all good at this. I mean, this is what they used to do in NXT, remember? And they used to sit there and they would just wrestle each other and do the same match over and over again and then take it on the road, you know, at a big show, at an NXT house show, in the Performance Center. This is how those women learned. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be really, really fun.
It's the perfect storm. It is winner take all and a triple threat match for both the WWE Raw Women's title and the WWE SmackDown title. So this feels like a unification of that. I don't like that, but as we've said, the brand split is DOA. So
it's temporary probably anyway. Who knows what the hell's going on?
Yeah, they'll change their mind probably the night after. But I'm going to go with Josh's pick first, and then we will you and me will make our picks. Josh picks Becky. I'm going to save you for last, Mo. I'm going to pick Becky Lynch. I really want Becky to win. I'm rooting hard for this one. Mo, who do you think?
They can't. It's absolutely Becky. It's the only one that makes sense at this point.
Yeah.
With the storyline they've told, it's the only one that makes sense, and they don't want to piss people off. It's the interesting thing is that it is actually now winner takes all. So that's where it is. You know, who does Becky defend against and what? You know. But I figure Becky pins Charlotte, and then faces Ronda and beats her next month.
I think that's absolutely the way it goes.
Especially since they can't be on the Saudi show. That gives them another main event spot.
Absolutely, that's another big factor in all this is they won't be on the Saudi show.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. I think we've hit on everything Mania. I don't think we've missed anything.
Oh, which is good, because in 5 minutes, I'm supposed to start another podcast.
Well, then, I think that's time to do the wrap-up.
It'll be my fourth and fifth of the day.
You're just
recording two shows
man.
Of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, the search for the Ultimate B-Movie. Little plug.
You gotta cheap plugs. That's what DX was good at, so you're doing an homage to them.
Yeah, that's right. Right here on the We Talk Wrestling Network.
That is fantastic. Mo, thank you for being on, and thanks Josh for sending his picks.
The best way to interact with him. Get him to send his picks, but not actually see or hear him.
You know, this is the most I've gotten to speak on a Mania pod when we do a 3-man pod. I feel really happy about this. This is nice.
To know Josh is to not want to talk to him.
we joke, but you can hear.
Do.
Yeah. you can check out everything that Josh does with the Fresh Take Network.
He's had lately; they've just been killing it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of crazy stuff.
Oh, absolutely! They're definitely a must follow for all their sites, and they're one of the few on Spotify from the We Talk family. So there are multiple ways to listen to them. Mo, as Mo had done his cheap plug, Mo, you guys have a ton of killer content coming, and you've got a lot of good stuff down in the pipes, just waiting to spring forth on a podcast.
Absolutely, there is even an outside shot at We Talk Wrestling podcast will get recorded this weekend, which we haven't done in a while. For be watching WrestleMania with Addy. So
And speaking of watching WrestleMania, I'll be there live. I'll be watching.
I hadn't heard.
Believe me, I'm going to keep mentioning it until I'm blue in the face, till someone punches me. But I will be there for NXT TakeOver New York. I will be there for MSG Supercard, and I will be there for Mania. And hopefully, as all things line up, I can do shows after each show, kind of giving an inside look at being there live and what that was like. But I'm gone on too long. Mo, thank you for being on. I'm Joel. Make sure you follow everything on We Talk, and we will be back with plenty more podcasts.
What it is, what it do, folks. Josh, Adam, William Arbuth not here. Obviously, Mo and Joel gave you a fantastic rundown of WrestleMania 35 and everything to expect and predictions. Obviously, they gave you some of my predictions on there. Busy day for me. I had a meeting for some exciting stuff for the Fresh Take podcast, but I wanted to get on here for the last 5 minutes. It's WrestleMania 35. And again, just like I mentioned on the NXT pod, give some shout to Joel. Very excited for him that he gets to go experience this event, Joel. I'm very happy for you that you get to experience it. And we got an extra match added to today with the SmackDown tag, and it looks like Raw is going to have a tag. And still no word on what Cena is, but we know that Cena has something. So watching SmackDown, though, one of my picks has changed.
Oh.
And so the pick that has changed now is the reason I picked Randy was I thought that spot would have been saved at Mania. Instead, they gave the spot that you and I have been talking about away on the show tonight. And so now I've changed to AJ winning that match.
Okay. Yeah. No, yeah. That was interesting. When I saw that, I was like, I'm a little surprised that they gave that away. But
yeah,
this is the WWE, so this makes sense that they would give it away. So
the one thing when I was making my picks, and you could probably speak to this, is in the past when we've had casual friends watch, and they've beat us in picks because I'm like, I can't think for these picks, and maybe you guys hit on this. As a rational fan, you have to think about it as nothing makes sense at Mania, and this is also more for the casual fan too, right? This isn't the Mania for the super fans as much as it is for the casual fans. And so I tried to think on that outside, what is going to happen? So I'm just curious, what did you guys pick for the big three, starting off with Brock and Seth? Obviously, in that one, I'm going with Brock, but I'm interested where you and Mo, but people who listened already went.
We all went with Brock. Brock was the main one for all of us.
Yeah, because I think we're assuming that it's going to be Roman jumping in that afterwards.
Yeah, that the end game is Roman. And Meltzer's already reported that the feeling is, and I had this mini debate with Mo, that Meltzer's reported that Seth, they want to save Seth. They want to save something big for the Saudi show, and I made the argument that I think WWE perceives Saudi Arabia as a bigger deal than Mania, just because of the money it generates.
Right.
And I vehemently disagreed with me, but you can talk to him on that. But that was one of the reasons why I'm like, yeah, no, I don't think Seth's getting the title at all. I think ultimately it's to get to Roman.
Well, the beatdown on Raw, and I know, you know, it's happened in the past. It's just Brock doesn't get beat down.
Yeah.
And we've been talking so much about one of these baby faces is going to get what they want. And I just never really thought Seth was the one that's getting it. If Roman hadn't have been coming back, I could have talked myself into a situation where Seth would have won that. But where Roman is now, Roman's going to destroy Drew. And then we're going to put the spell back on Roman. And we're just going to build it away. By the way, Meltzer had reported today that the WWE did pay for Romo's chemo.
Yeah, I think we're going to start hearing a lot more of that start to come out about things like that, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, with the Oliver report. So, obviously, the Roman match is going to win that. For Kofi and Bryan, I've gone back and forth. I didn't really like his promo on SmackDown. I don't know if you guys were recording. I caught the end of that. I thought he was trying way too hard. It was very impassioned, but I thought he was trying way too hard to be a passionate wrestler. It just didn't seem to come naturally, my opinion. the crowd chants are so overwhelming that it's hard not to pick Kofi. I just think Brian's going to win it and feud with Kevin Owens after this.
I picked Kofi, and I believe that Mo had picked Kofi as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm probably wrong in this one, but I just can't see it. It probably happens because the crowd chants are so overwhelming. And the moment, I think fans are going to be really pissed if he doesn't, and I wouldn't be shocked if he does, but I think they really like, and they've got something with this Brian title run, and I think they're going to keep going with Brian. I mean, now there is a thing too, you talk about the Saudi Arabia show that's came to my mind is, if Brian wants to go to Saudi Arabia again in May, and if he doesn't, that's a perfect case to get that title to Kofi and move forward with that.
See, that's another thing.
Becky, not even a question to me. Becky's winning both titles. I've seen some arguments for Charlotte today. I have no question Becky's winning both titles. That's not even a thought in my mind.
And that was me and Mo as well.
Yeah, that one's the most obvious one. Joe, I think, is winning. I think Dominic's going to interfere in some way for that. I don't know where you guys went in that one. The Battle Royals, I didn't really care, and I'm sure you guys had the same thing.
Oh, yeah, we barely talked about it.
So I just went with Strowman because it seems like the most obvious. I don't really know who else really could do anything. I mean, they did the preview tonight. Jeff Hardy won the preview of it. I think I may change my woman's pick. I thought Asuka was going to win it just for the makeup, but I think they made it tonight. I think Lacey Evans is winning the Battle Royal.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, I think Lacey Evans is winning the Battle Royal. The more I thought about it, they gave Asuka her big spot tonight. So I think Lacey Evans is winning that. And for the tag titles, I think they're going to keep it on the Usos. Where did you guys go with that?
We both picked the Usos losing.
Okay. Who did you guys have for the winners?
I think... I don't even see. This is a thing. Now I'm drawing a blank because of how long the previous show was, how many matches there were to go with.
I can imagine. So, whatever case, you guys have the Usos losing. For the Raw titles, I have Zach and Hawkins winning, and that's a pre-show match, and that's finally them getting their moment. Overall, kind of what's the buzz from both from you? I kind of have an idea because you're going there, so it's a different view. What's Mo's kind of buzz in this Mania?
There's some positives, but I don't think it wasn't exactly a sunshine and rainbows podcast. There's some things to look forward to, but I think we definitely hit on the feeling of it's a word that I keep going back to, and I think it's the perfect word, is the atrophy that WWE is currently going through right now.
With
their thing. I think the show is way too bloated. One of the things we hit on was the need to get everyone on this card. This should be the thing that you work towards. It shouldn't just be, here you go, we're handing out all these lollipops, so you get.
You felt that on SmackDown tonight. Yeah. You really did on SmackDown, especially when they had like the Battle Royal tag match and you saw the Good Brothers on there. One thing on SmackDown that was super annoying, I'm sure you saw the result but not the match, Miz losing to beating Sanity was a joke. Yeah, so that was interesting. Did you guys talk about Elias?
Yeah,
what's the prediction there?
The hope is Rock. The hope is Rock. But we talked Honky Tonk Man. We talked Jeff Jarrett. We talked who else did we talk? We talked about Cena maybe.
It's not Cena apparently.
I think
Cena has a match. I don't know what it is. I might guess is Taker. Why would you not announce that though?
Anything can happen in the WWE.
What did you guys, just because obviously people have heard it, I'm kind of in flat, so this is an exciting part about it. But Cena thought, what's your guys' thoughts on the Cena stuff?
We thought it should be Joe or Kurt. We weren't really sure. It was just Cena will be there, and it's just...
He's in New York right now, apparently. So some thought that he might do something, but do you think it's a mistake not advertising John Cena for this, or Mania just sells itself?
Mania just sells itself. The name Mania sells itself. I bought my tickets... I bought my tickets because I wanted to go to the MSG show, but I bought these tickets and I'm like, I don't care who's really on this show. Like it's Mania.
So just to sum up for me, I'm really excited about it. I think it'll be fun. You know, I have a few buddies coming over, as I always do. Obviously, Joel will be absent, but I'm happy that he is, just for the sense he gets to experience this live. A few negatives on the road to me that I've kind of stuck at the last few days is that RKO given away. Didn't think that was necessary. And the Demon given away on Raw. I thought those two things were not necessary. They're not adding extra tickets, especially with that RKO. It's something I wanted to see in the match itself that I was anticipating. And especially with the Demon, you didn't need to say that the Demon's facing Bobby. You could have just had the situation of, will the Demon be there? Will he not be there? Because the pop for the Demon coming out would have been extra special. It's going to be good, but people would have been like, is it the Demon? Is it not? Is it? And you can build the anticipation up to that. That was the one thing with that match that had some anticipation is, will he be the Demon or not? And now that part's gone.
As is the WWE way.
Yeah. So I think there's positive and negatives. My favorite thing is going to be the MSG show. That's what I'm looking forward to the most with what everything they have there. I'm really looking forward to Okada and Jay White. I'm really looking forward to Naito and Ibushi. I think it's going to be a really fun week. And thanks for you guys for doing a good podcast. And everyone enjoy WrestleMania week. And until next time, cheers and enjoy the day, people.